at Broadcasting House. John.
Thank you very much, Ian Skelly. You can listen to tonight's Prom again, of course, via the BBC Radio 3 website. And if you're not an online person, you can hear it again here on BBC Radio 3 this Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tomorrow night, well, the plot thickens.
Old Bartolo wants to marry young Rosina, but Rosina is in love with a handsome soldier. The soldier is in love with Rosina, but he isn't really a soldier, he's actually a count, or is he a music teacher? What's going on? Fear not, the Barber of Seville has it all in hand.
Largo facoto nella città, largo! La 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 la!
Tomorrow, Glyndebourne visits the BBC Proms, bringing with them a star cast, including soprano Danielle Denise, for Rossini's comic masterpiece. The Barber of Seville, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock.
Well, back to tonight on Radio 3, and we've early music late with Simon Hayes, Handel and Vivaldi on the air tonight at 11:30, not 10:30, as it says in the Radio Times. Now, at just after 10:15, we come to this week's Drama on Three, which is Molière's comedy Tartuffe, adapted into English by the poet Roger McGough for a production first staged at the Liverpool Playhouse. It tells the story of a wealthy merchant, Orgon, who has taken in a religious man, Tartuffe. He appears to be a picture of piety, but it soon becomes clear all is not as it seems.
Philpott! Where is that girl? Philpott!
Madame?
Oh, there you are. Fetch the bags. This place is driving one mad, Philpott. To stay another day, we will not.
But, Mother, why the unseemly haste?
Because, Elmira, we feel displaced. One is obviously in the way. One is bored. No one cares about one. One is ignored. Compared to this house, Bedlam's an oasis. A madhouse, that's what this place is.
If I may say...
Doreen, you may not. You're nothing but a maid like my little Philpott.
I say, Grandmama.
Don't Grandmama me. You're a disappointment. Dummies, you're a fly-by-night in the ointment. We have told our son oft times to keep a tight rein, otherwise you'll go off the rails again and again.
Oh, Grandmama.
Oh, Grandmama. Marianne. Little Miss Echo, sugar and spice, fluffy and sweet and ever so nice.
We don't think so. Beneath an exterior all candy flossy, one detects a scheming little hussy.
But, Mother...
And as for you, it's time we had our say. The truth may hurt, be that as it may, but you're hopeless. That's a fact. You're a Grecian urn that's slightly chipped and cracked. But look at you. Dressed up like Lady Muck or the Queen of Sheba. Haughty. You're no stuck up in the air. Naughty. You spend, 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 and never a thought of how it might end.
But, Madame Bernal...
Now, you may be her brother Cléante. And well do we think of you. You have our respect. Except when you drone on and on, endlessly spouting, never doubting your own abilities... Theories about this and that, and yet you talk, sir, through your hat. Pray, forgive my frankness. Don't think me unkind. But it pays, we think, to speak one's mind.
You're Monsieur Tartuffe, then. He can do no wrong.
Certainly not. The man's a saint. And we can't abide the way you paint him black. His character is beyond reproach.
Oh, please, the man's a roach. Who scuttles about beneath our feet, a spider who spun a web of sanctimonious deceit.
We're not praying like a zealot to the skies. He watches us with beady eyes, breathes brimstone, a devil in disguise.
Everything he observes must be observed. If he is censorious, it is deserved. He knows the road to heaven. So take heed. My son has brought him here to instruct and lead.
I'm sorry, Grandmother, but I disagree. That charlatan will not be leading me. A brainstorm father's obviously had to befriend a man so plainly mad. I can see it as clearly as the end of my nose. One day, Tartuffe and I will come to blows.
Admit it. Someone arrives from the back of beyond without a penny to his name. A vagabond, a ne'er-do-well. And within weeks he's cast a spell and we're running round like headless chicks. An orgon befuddled by a con man's tricks.
Lawksy! Calumny! What pharisaical behaviour! Can't you see, Tartuffe? Why, he's our saviour.
A saviour? Your son's money's the only thing he saves. He's on the make. Why, see how he behaves. Oh, the man has no refinement. Just look at his clothes.
And he speaks not in verse, but in leaden prose.
And Laurent, his servant. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
His servant? Oh, we don't know him. But his master can't be faltered, nor my good opinion of him altered. And if his anger shows, 'tis righteous and just. Gluttony he can't abide, nor greed, nor lust.
Then why the fuss when visitors pay a call? He's enamoured of Elmire, the writing's on the wall.
Balderdash, as to visitors, one is with him all the way. Carriages call in all hours of the day. The bustle of footmen, the blocking of gates, the noisy upheaval the business creates. The neighbours are gossiping. You have to agree. And the wagging of tongues is anathema to me.
If people want to wag their tongues, they will. And there's naught that we can do to keep them still. Our lives are blameless. We ignore the rumours spread by critics, the gloom and doomers.
I know who's behind them all. Daphne, up the road, and her husband, the ginger-bearded toad. The ones who cast the first stones, I posit, are the ones with skeletons in the closet. Justifying their own misconduct, that's their game. By feigning innocence, they hope to shift the blame.
Be that as it may, but take old Miss Arant. Nobody's foolish she, no sycophant, who lives a life of commendable piety, yet disapproves of this salon's impropriety. A more virtuous lady one wouldn't wish to know. Pure is she as the driven snow.
Driven snow now turned to slush, long since faded as youth's first flush. What inspires her present zeal is old age, desire replaced by impotent rage. She's virtuous because she has no choice. Instead of sweet nothings, she gives voice to disapproval. When young, she had it all, the twinkling, tinkling bell of the ball. She flirted madly, took her lovers and took them gladly. Then, sadly, year by year, her beauty faded. Energy failing, appetite jaded. She ends up a virtuous recluse, censuring those whose morals are loose. Outside the Garden of Eden, Eve, tormented, observed paradise lost and then repented. Watching others taste the apple now denied, the blossom has shrivelled, the sap has died.
Elmire, why let yourself be put upon? Your maid, she prattles on and on. If she continues to harangue us all, why not put her on the soapbox facing the wall? But it's my turn now, and before we leave, let me reiterate what we firmly believe, that Orgon, my son, never acted wiser than when he took on Tartuffe as his advisor. He's heaven-sent, his motives pure. He'll take Satan by the scruff and kick him out of the door. All the godless conversations, the endless social calls, the extravagant suppers, the sumptuous balls, he sees them for what they are, the seven sins, and the deadliest is pride. And we tell you, this man has God on his side. Why, a friend of mine just the other day, a professor, in fact, was moved to say that in this Tower of Babel, everyone jabbers and babbles and blabbers and gabbles and mutters and stammers and... Oh, yes, very funny, isn't it? Sniggering behind your hands. Nobody listens, far less understands. There is an old English saying that goes... The one who laughs at the beginning does not laugh for as long as the one who laughs at the end, which, roughly translated, means...
We know what it means.
Then you should do well to mark it. Well, daughter-in-law, we will say no more, don't worry. One's bags are packed, we'll be out of the door, and we will not be back in a hurry. One would like to say it's been a pleasure,
But tell my son that living in a cage of chimps would have been more fun. Where is that girl? Phil, put!
Madame.
Come along, child, stop gawking. And mouth closed except for eating and talking.
Wait, madame, let us walk you to the door. Damis, Marianne.
Zut alors! How that lady doth stick in my craw. She makes me want to stamp and shout. I'm staying put. She can find her own way out.
Oh, Cleont, relaxez-vous and wipe your brow. Her bite is not as bad as her bow-wow, and it's plain she's fond of you deep down.
Perhaps, but Tartuffe, can't she recognize a clown?
Agreed, but nothing like her son's infatuation. Orgon, of all people, a man whose reputation for bravery endeared him to the king. That he should be taken in beats everything. The man's besotted. He calls him brother, prefers him to his daughter, wife and mother.
And his son.
Especially Damis. Blunders never cease. Tartuffe is now Orgon's father confessor, his spiritual adviser, and, I would guess, a knave who keeps the sins of the confessional close to his chest, to sell for silver when it suits him best. And yet there he is, top of the table, next to his master, eating more and eating faster, belching and burping like a camel in distress. And what does Orgon say? God bless. He pampers him, dances when he calls the tunes, thinks the sun shines out of his pantaloons. And Tartuffe knows how to turn on the charm with a muttered prayer or a quote from a psalm, wheedling money out of him to line his own purse. And the weapon he uses is chapter and verse. One hypocrite is bad enough, but now his servant's in on the act, armed with a sermon or a biblical tract about the dangers of beauty spots, face powder and rouge. I had a gorgeous lace handkerchief made in Bruges that I kept as a bookmark in my missal, which he flung into the bin, saying, "This'll be a mortal sin," before going on to explain, "To mix the worldly with the sacred is profoundly profane." The man's absurd. In a word, insane.
Well, that was a wise move, staying here.
Ranting at the gate, still ringing in my ear.
My husband's on his way. I'll await him in my boudoir.
You do that. I'll stay for a chat. Au revoir.
Cleont, if you get the chance, would you light upon the question of romance? My sister's wedding, for instance, bring up the topic. I fear his views are verging on the myopic. Tartuffe, we can assume, wants the whole thing aborted. So once and for all, let's get it sorted. My sister is in love with Valère, and he with her. And I'm in love with his sister.
He's coming!
Ah, Cleon.
Dear brother, I was just on my way.
Dear brother, I bid you stay.
Then I will, and gladly. And how are things in the world outside?
Upheaval and unrest, sadly. Later I'll confide. But concerning matters closer to the heart, I've been away for days. How goes it? Let's hear what Dorine says.
Well... When you left, my lady grew quite pale. Her breathing faltered, her pulse began to fail.
And Tartuffe?
Tartuffe. Fit as a fiddle, right as rain.
Poor man.
In the evening, she developed a violent stomach pain, followed by a headache more a blinding migraine.
And Tartuffe?
He scoffed a brace of partridge, half a leg of mutton, and drank port till his face turned a purplish pink.
Poor man.
Unable to eat, only water would she drink. At night she tossed and turned and could not sleep a wink. At length she submitted to our beseeching and allowed the surgeon to commence the leeching.
And Tartuffe?
To recover from witnessing my lady's loss of blood, he drank brandy for breakfast, a flask more than he should.
Poor man, 'twould do him good.
At present they are both well, and if you'll excuse, I will tell my lady of your concerns, that you were perturbed.
And Tartuffe?
Not to be disturbed. He's having a snooze.
Poor man.
You didn't notice, did you?
Notice what?
That she was pulling your leg, Dorine.
What on earth do you mean?
You only had ears for Tartuffe. Couldn't care less about Elmire, God's truth. What is it about this interloper that goads you into faux pas after faux pas?
Steady on, brother. Hold your horses. Don't jump to conclusions before checking your sources.
I admit his presence here doth frighten me, but no doubt you'll enlighten me.
Indeed, I will. If you but knew the man as I do, you'd see a man both strong and true, and you'd be captivated too. He's a man who practices what he preaches, who lives a simple life and teaches humility. He sees the world for what it is, a mountain of manure, and aspires to a life beyond it, to a kingdom pure. He's changed me in so many different ways. No longer do I fritter my days on friendships and affection. Love of family, I see for what it is, an affliction. If my nearest and dearest should suddenly expire, so what? To something greater I now aspire.
Nice. What a warm-hearted individual.
If I explain how we met and what he did, you'll know what I mean. The way he sidled into the pew next to me, meek and humble as a church mouse. Home sweet home he found in God's own house. Every day he'd arrive in chapel and humbly kneel. There was an aura about him. One could almost feel the spirituality as if it were a force. He gave off heat. The congregation, enraptured, would rise to its feet, but he took no notice. Upon the ground, prostrate, he'd groan and sigh and contemplate the sacred mysteries our souls to save. And when I left, he'd be waiting at the door to offer me holy water. I'd give him a handful of sous. He was obviously poor. Too much, he'd say. Half will do. But if I insisted, he'd accept, and with a smile so sweet, he'd share it with the beggars in the street. To help a man so selfless and benign, there came to me from heaven above a sign. I brought him home.
And Laurent, his servant?
More a companion. Yes, don't they make a wholesome pair? I could not take the one and leave the other there. Cléante, I tell you to have him under my roof. 'Tis the best thing I have done, and that's the truth.
Then why is he suspicious of everything that moves?
Not true. Of course there are things of which he disapproves, but he is my eyes and my ears. When I am apart from Elmire, I have no fears. He watches her closely and guards her honour. Pity the masher who should encroach upon her. Perfection is what he seeks, and such lofty ideals strengthen my resolve. Sanctity, that's what appeals. This is the cut of the man with which we're dealing. T'other morning, whilst in the chapel, kneeling, he was distracted by the buzzing of a bee, and lashing out with uncharacteristic savagery, killed it. Seized with remorse, he broke down and cried. Then, cradling the creature, he carried it outside and buried it solemnly in holy ground.
With full military honours, I'll be bound. And a gravestone suitably inscribed, "Here lieth a bee, no longer busy, R.I.P. Death, where is thy sting?"
Oh, hilarious. At his expense, enjoy your feeble jest.
But, brother, it was all a cunning test. You were not witness to that tragicomic act. He made it up to see how you'd react. And your reaction told him you were naive and innocent, the better to deceive.
You're a libertine, blind and dim-witted. In a word, an atheist. Admit it.
Not I. I look at God and the vision I have is clear. He looks into my heart and I have no fear. It's people like Tartuffe who are a danger to society, who make a show of modesty and piety, and not a dumb show either, all that posturing and faking. Look at me, I'm a saint in the making. Orgon, you more than anyone have experience of war, seen how men behave amidst the battle's roar, and do the bravest make the most noise? No. Courage does not jump up, shout and wave. Look at me, aren't I brave? Likewise, those men and women, the truly pious, whose example we should follow, defy us to pick them out as different from the crowd, and when they pray, it's in the heart, not out loud. Sincerity, artificiality, The true face and the mask. Devotion, hypocrisy. Can't you tell the difference? That's all I ask.
Oh, yes. You're a man of genius and no mistake. So wise, so brilliant. You make me shake in me boots. Gadzooks! You're the Cato of our age!
No, brother, I'm not a sage. But there is one thing I can do, and that's spot the difference between false and true. There's nothing more that I approve of than a genuine believer with a love of God. All good things emanate from such devotion, charity, fellow feeling, purity of emotion. But religion for some is merely an excuse to get on in the world, a set of irksome rules to use and bend to their own advantage, and so they make great show of pretended zeal, because they know that as deceit is undetectable, they'll never be taken to task. Except by God, of course. But does he exist, they ask. I am the way, the truth, and the light, is what we're told, but for them the road to heaven is paved with gold. Those same people, drawn to where the cash is, extol the virtues of sackcloth and ashes. Cunning in their employment of scripture divine, they shuffle and bend the words to undermine the true meaning. Changing the colour of what we believe, a landscape of lies is the tapestry they weave. When they take up arms, they do so in his name. It is God's will. We fight for him, they claim. Which makes them doubly dangerous. For who would oppose a seemingly just cause? The cancer grows, we see it spread across this kingdom and abroad. Vengeance dispatched with a consecrated sword. And yet, on this canvas, amid scenes of bitterness and wrath, can be found gentle souls who walk a righteous path, who are not avaricious, jealous, or vain, but virtuous, generous, and humane. I speak of Ariston, Alcidamas, and Periandre, of Orante, Polydor, and Clitandre, good men all, and living proof that to be touched by God one cannot stand aloof. They never point out the sinner or cast a stone, but for the sins of the world they suffer and atone. To form cabals or cliques conscience would never allow, to plot in hushed voices, they wouldn't know how. By glorious example, such men put God within our reach. As for your Tartuffe, he's a sham. Here endeth the speech.
Is that it? Has the well run dry? In which case, I'll bid goodbye.
Your brother, before you turn your back, if I may try a different tack, Marianne, your daughter, and Valère. You will agree, a handsome, well-matched pair.
Yes.
Starry-eyed and impatient they, looking forward to their wedding day.
No doubt.
The date of which you've put on hold. For what reason shouldn't they be told?
Possibly, yes.
Why, in God's name, must you be so evasive? An ulterior motive or just a case of being preoccupied?
Yes, preoccupied. That sounds a good excuse. Now, if you'll excuse...
Oh, go on, be serious. You promised your daughter's hand to Valère. Are we now to understand you prefer another option? If so, I don't see it.
Another option. If that should be God's will, so be it.
Oh, dear. Stormy waters lie ahead. I'll find Valère and tell him what's been said.
Yes, Father?
I'd like a word. Draw near me, and lest anyone should overhear me, I'll first check in here. Seems all clear.
All clear? 'Tis an empty closet, Father dear.
I know. Save for dust. Because what I have to say is just between ourselves. Marianne, you have always been close to my heart.
Thank you, Papa. And for my part, I am grateful for the love you bestow.
That's as it should be, and good to know. Because your respect for me, I'm putting to the test. What think you of Tartuffe, our honored guest?
Who?
Me?
Yes, you. And be careful what you say, my dear.
In which case, I'll say anything you wish to hear.
That's splendid. Then, wouldn't you agree that you could live quite happily with this excellent fellow? A man for all seasons. Could you give me 100 reasons why I should not give your hand to him in marriage?
Whose? Mine?
Yes, thine. Take your time.
But, Father, I'm...
Take your time.
I'm...
Take your time.
I'm speechless.
That makes a welcome change around these parts.
You tricked me, Father. You know my heart's spoken for. I will not have it broken for someone like him. And, with respect, on a fatherly whim...
Child, you make too bold. I have resolved the punt. You shall do as you're told. Ah, Doreen! And what business have you here, forever lurking? Shouldn't you be somewhere else, possibly even, dare I say it, working?
Oh, in truth, sir, the joke's going round the servants' quarters. The one about Tartuffe taking your sweet daughter's hand in marriage. On hearing it, we laughed till we cried, sir. We almost died, sir. When my eyes had dried, sir, up I thought I'd pop.
Stop! This is no joke. Tartuffe will wed Marianne. I'm being serious.
Loxy, sir, you're plain delirious. Who would believe such a mismatch? What farcical plot would this hatch?
You find it unbelievable?
It's a fairy story. A fable. Like Beauty and the Beast, with no happy ending.
Doreen, my patience, you're bending, and soon it will snap. Be afraid.
Dear chap, 'tis your temper that's afraid. Tell me, please, it's all but a jest, an elaborate scheme devised to test Marianne's love for Valère.
Hark ye, continue in this vein, and you'll get your comeuppance. For your silly ideas, I couldn't give tuppence.
Good sir, then let's calmly talk the matter through like adults. Intelligent, patient, in search of truth. The question I ask... The question is, why marry your daughter to this bigot, Tartuffe?
Tartuffe.
Tartuffe. Who's not only a bigot, but a beggar, wearing boots of worn-out leather. Why he doesn't have 2 sous to rub together?
His poverty is honest poverty. Like the good monks in the neighbouring abbey, he has renounced the wealth of this world. Shabby he may be, but his sacrifices of things temporal for things eternal, isn't that to be lauded?
Lauded? The way he lauded it over the breakfast table this morning. Such airs and graces. You'd think he was lord of the house already.
Steady. Steady. He's a gentleman and understands that one day I'll find a way to reacquire his lands.
Bully for him. Then let's not talk of his continual name-dropping, the shameless vanity, his naked ambition...
Doreen!
I'm stopping. The subject to be discussed. His personality.
If we must...
We must, is right and just. Has it not occurred to you, you gamble with your daughter's virtue? To force a maiden against her will, to marry someone she does not care for, condemns her to a cell of loneliness. Therefore, despite her wedding vows, she will look elsewhere for love and affection. Adultery, no less. And on your head will be the sin for the right old mess you're getting her in. 2.
Ignore this indecent prattle, Marianne. I'm your father and I've altered my plan. Admittedly, I promised you to Valère, but the things I've been hearing about him lately, well, in truth, they're hard to bear.
Like what, for instance?
Like missing Mass, for instance.
Oh, how do you know? You're not in church all the time. He may attend Mass in the next village. Is that a crime?
Thank you for that observation, but you're no longer included in my conversation. Daughter, Tartuffe in heaven is highly regarded. Imagine the blessings that will bring down. 2 turtle doves in love like no others, hand in hand, cooing as they stroll through the town. Around your little finger, you wrap him with ease and turn him into anything you please.
An old fool she'll make of him, a cuckold.
Look, old thing, I've told you before, this is my river, so don't put in your oar.
It's not your river.
Stop interrupting.
I'm not.
Such impudence. If your tongue wants to waggle, don't let it. One more word, my girl, and you'll regret it. As I was saying, having weighed up all the factors in the case, I believe that Tartuffe
is not a disgrace.
Is a man of maturity whom I'd be only too happy to
strangle.
Welcome into the family as a
pet chimpanzee.
Son-in-law!
I will say one thing, though. If I were Marianne, I'd not be pushed into marriage against my will. Although, if I had to swallow that bitter pill, I'd soon make it known to the groom, impassioned, that revenge would be mine, that sex would be rationed.
Depravity! Insolence!
What's up? I wasn't talking to you.
To whom, then?
Oh, I'm talking to myself.
Right, that's it. Another word, and it's one almighty slap. Go on, then. Speak up.
I've got nothing to say.
Just say something. Anything.
No.
Just one word will do.
Do you think I'm soft or summat? Unpleasant, unkempt, and uncouth. That's what I think of your Mr. Tartuffe.
Tartuffe!
Oh, Tartuffe! Cat's got your tongue, has it? Why not stand up for yourself? As it is, it's left for me to pick up the pieces and fight your cause while running the risk of a kick up the drawers.
But Father's so headstrong, so domineering.
Marianne, I don't believe what I'm hearing. You're at the centre of this whole caboodle. Will you be pushed into marrying this noodle? Your feelings must be taken into account. If Tartuffe is as wonderful as Orgon said, why doesn't your father marry him instead?
Oh, Doreen, when Father rails, 'tis like the sound of thunder. It echoes and rumbles. I try to speak, my voice, it fails. My spirit crumbles.
I know, I know. He gets carried away. But let's see what we can do to save the day. Valère, do you love him, or is it a schoolgirl crush?
Doreen, please, you make me blush. I love him dearly. 100 times at least I've told you clearly.
And Valère, he loves you as well?
As far as I can tell.
And marriage is the goal for which you aim?
Assuredly.
Then what would happen if it were called off, the wedding game?
I would kill myself. Poison! The rope! The sword! For this broken heart of mine there'd be no mending.
Oh, good. Why not all three? I like a happy ending. Oh, silly girl, you make me want to stamp and shout. Suicide? Why, that's the coward's way out. Shoulder to shoulder, we must stand and fight.
Doreen, of course you're right. How I wish I could be bolder, but I'm a delicate little flower. I wilt. Besides, Valère, who's a man and built of sterner stuff, shouldn't he be pressing my suit?
No, I'll put the iron on and do it later. I jest. Valère's entreaties would be of no avail. Tartuffe is your father by the tail and twirls him round and round until so dizzy he can't see clearly. You can't blame Valère. Not really.
Yet if I defied my father, imagine the gossip in the vicinity. Rumours of passion, questions of virginity. My modesty violated, a monstrous scandal thus created.
Oh, yes, I see your point. Then let's go into reverse. Then marry Tartuffeless, you could do worse. A young maiden's dream, he'd be a wonderful catch. I can't imagine a more eligible match. Big ears, fat face, long nose, a bit runny. Why, you'd live in a land of milk and honey.
Please, please, stop this endless teasing.
I'm serious. You'd find the whole thing pleasing. As Mrs. Tartuffe, you'd be driven down by coach and four to Tartuffe Town, met by the mayor and local gentry. You'd smile and wave and gain free entry to the garden party put on just for you. There'd be jugglers, clowns, giants on stilts, bagpipes played by men in kilts put on just for you. Onion sellers, fortune tellers, and if it rains, large umbrellas put up
just for you.
Doreen, please. Sarcasm I have no need of. For pity's sake, take heed of my dilemma. I am drowning. I am drowning.
Do stop moaning. Do stop moaning.
Tartuth's your man. Your father's mind is set. Accept your fate.
Valet?
Oh, forget.
How could you? When all these years I considered you a friend. Farewell. As this short life I bring to a sad and brutal end.
Well, perhaps that was rather cruel of me. But your father made a fool of me, as you did by your procrastination. But never mind, we'll look to your salvation and find a plan, if you stay calmer. Please, no more drama.
It's Valere, your beau.
Oh, no. How do I look?
Modestly, with eyes downcast.
Oh!
I have the most extraordinary piece of news on my way here.
What's that?
That you are marrying Tartuffe. Did I mishear?
No. Papa has changed his mind, as is his way, and wants the match to go ahead without delay.
And you? What do you say?
I don't know.
There's honesty for you. You don't know?
No.
No?
If I asked for your advice, what would you say?
My advice? My advice would be... accept. Get married sooner than later. Fait accompli.
I see. That's your advice, is it?
Yes. It comes straight from the heart, where all truth lies. Your father's choice, I think, is wise.
In that case, I shall do as you suggest. Content in the knowledge that what I do is best for both of us.
What's going on? What are they playing at?
What contortion of truth! You make me vexed. Using my confusion as a flimsy pretext to justify the breaking of your word.
You're being absurd.
You never loved me. Oh, yes. You flattered those eyes and put on a show of warmth and affection, but now I know 'twas all make-believe.
Say what you will, but I would never deceive.
Sorry to interrupt, but I must fly. Life must go on. I have other fish to fry.
Plenty more fish in the sea.
Pebbles on the beach. Birds in the trees, rosebuds in the garden. And women, when I see 'em, hey, carpe diem, seize the day.
If it's any consolation, you'll soon find consolation. Why, for a man like you, so handsome and well-dressed, they'll be queuing round the block, three abreast.
Ah, but it's not quantity I seek. I would hate to be perceived as someone weak who pines for the one he has lost. So I'll pretend to be in love again, whatever the cost.
A sentiment most sublime.
Then how should I spend my time? Languishing in a darkened room? Writing poems to Marianne? While you snuggle up and kiss this horrible hairy man? You can hardly blame me, can you? If I want to look elsewhere.
Far from it. I haven't a care. In fact, I wish you'd done it sooner.
Done it sooner? Well, that does it. I'm off.
Goodbye.
And I'm not coming back.
Okay.
I wouldn't come back if you paid me.
That's all right, then.
This is all your fault, you know.
If you're going, please go.
Don't worry. I will. What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
I thought I heard you call.
Not at all. You must be hearing things.
Yes, that's it. Well, I'm definitely going now. Take one last look, for you shall see me no more.
Very well. And on leaving, please don't slam the door.
Oh, what on earth are you two playing at? I left you long enough to see what would transpire. And what do I get? A two-headed pantomime horse on a tightrope wire. And where do you think you're going?
Unhand me. Duty awaits. You heard her tell me what to do. I'm off to greet those three abreasted ladies in the queue.
Come back.
Oh, let him go. 'Tis my presence here that irks him so. I'd best be gone.
Oh, not you as well. You're both bewitched. 'Tis the madness of youth. And who cast this silly spell?
Yes, Tartuffe.
Tartuffe.
Tartuffe. Now, give me your hands, both of you. That's better. Now, have you anything to say to each other?
No.
Not really, no.
Can't think of anything. No.
Oh, come on, stop beating about the bushes. She loves him and he loves her. Now kiss, don't spare my blushes.
But the highfalutin tone she took.
The coldness of that haughty look.
How she wove that web of lies.
The way he cut me down to size.
Her power to make me feel a fool.
His childish boasting, coarse and cruel.
She dare not look me in the eye.
He tried, but could not make me cry.
Oh, those sweet, sweet lips. That lovely face.
The way his smile lights up the place.
When I'm alone, 'tis you I miss.
And when I dream, 'tis you I kiss.
Oh, go on then. Go on, we haven't got all night. Oh, I can't be doing with this. Now, if you'd kindly descend from your hypnotic state, there are matters grave on which to concentrate. Un, deux, trois.
Right. Tell us, what's the plan?
First and foremost, we need to be as cunning as we can. Let's hope your father has a modicum of sense, otherwise the problems are immense. Marianne, I suggest you carry on as you would normally do. Be dutiful and compliant. Valère, as for you, an air of acceptance, I think. Disappointed, but unbowed. And the two of you together, seen only in a crowd. If Orgon smells a rat, he'll bring the wedding forward, and that will be that. So spin out the engagement, so that when dates and churches are talked about, you'll have time to work your excuses out. Illness is good. Something female. Whispered and vague. Preferably not the pox, and definitely not the plague. Or use delaying tactics like you broke a looking glass, out walking saw a coffin pass. Bad dreams, bad omens, portents and forebodings, pile them on. And remember, despite our scheming, if the worst comes to the worst when dragged up the aisle, try screaming. Now, let's make your stepmother party to our plans. Her brother Cleont, too. He's got time on his hands.
I'm counting on you.
And I on you.
All right, you two, enough of the chat. You go that way, and you go that. No, separately. You go that way, and you... Oh, Lord, give me patience.
May the earth split asunder, rivers run red. May thunder roar and lightning strike me dead if I cannot find a way to wreak the revenge of Hades on that despicable sneak.
Oh, Damis, you sound like an ancient Greek. No need to curse, blaspheme or shout. It's only an idea that's floating about. Your father has one several times a year. With any luck, 'twill just disappear.
I'll confront Tartuffe. Have a word in his ear. For instance, Battard.
Gently does it. Don't go in hard. If I were you, I'd leave it to Elmire. On your behalf, she's meeting him here to try and uncover the heart of the man, discover his motives as best she can. They seem to get on uncommonly well, and he seems to be smitten as far as I can tell. Oh. 'Twould certainly do our cause no harm if he succumbed to her legendary charm. Pointing out the dangers such a union might result in, she'd put it in a manner seductive, not insulting. Apparently, Tartuffe is still upstairs, finishing off his morning prayers. Book in hand, head bowed in reverie. He's a man renowned for his breviary. Now off you go.
Can't I stay?
You're too wound up at the end of your tether. Best leave the two of them together.
But their conversation I determined to overhear.
Then hide in this closet over here. And be quick. He's coming.
Laurent,
Rub some fresh stinging nettles into my hair shirt, will you? And you can put away the scourge, the one I use for self-flagellation. Should anybody call, I have gone to the prison to distribute among those poor unfortunates my last few coins.
What a poser.
What do you want?
Oh, well, I suppose...
Stop! Stop right there. Pray use this handkerchief before you speak.
What for?
To cover that bosom, those breasts, which I cannot bear to see. Such objects damage the soul and usher in thoughts most sinful.
Well, you're easily tempted, aren't you? Turned on by a pair of playful little puppies peeping innocently from a blouse. I must say, I'd be harder to arouse. Well, you could take your kit off and run around bare. I wouldn't give a monkey's. I wouldn't turn a hair.
Pray now, speak with modesty, or I shall leave this very minute.
No, it's me that's going to leave, and it's you that's going to stay. Madame would like a quiet word. In fact, she's on her way.
Well, in that case...
Well, that's put a smile on his face. He fancies her. I knew it. I hear her coming. I'll leave you to it.
Credo in unam, Spiritus Sanctum, Kyrie eleison.
May God in his infinite wisdom and mercy bestow upon you health of both body and mind.
Ah, that's most kind. Now, I'm quite fatigued after my walk. Do you mind sitting while we talk?
Have you not fully recovered from your illness?
Quite recovered, thank you. Doreen was a blessing to stroke my fevered brow to help with my undressing.
For my prayers have not sufficient merit to have drawn down favour from above. But your health cannot be overrated. And to bring it back, I'd have sacrificed my own.
You are most kind, sir. And now I desire to speak with you of a certain affair, which we must conduct in private. For I would fret should anyone overhear our little tete-a-tete.
Indeed, madam. Without a doubt. Such is the fervour of my feelings.
Ouch!
Oh, pardonnez-moi! An excess of zeal. To hurt you was not my intention. I had much rather...
Forgive me, sir. I don't wish to pry, but is that your hand upon my thigh?
Yes. I'm just feeling the texture of your dress. The cloth is mighty rich.
Oh, I can see you're a man of the cloth. But please refrain. I'm ticklish.
Bless me, how exquisite is the workmanship on this lace. Crafted in Bruges, I shouldn't wonder.
Yes, a gift from my husband, thoughtful and kind. Who has broken a promise and changed his mind concerning his daughter? Rumours abound, and I hope they're not true, that Orgon wants her to marry you.
Oh, he may have hinted at that en passant, but I was not of a mind to take notice. My mind, in truth, being elsewhere, focused on a very different attraction.
As well befits a man of inaction. On higher things you set your sights, earthly objects no longer hold delights.
My breast does not enclose a heart of stone.
Oh, there's hot blood there and passion, I can tell. But I see a man in control of his desires, who would rather burn in the fires of hell than be snared by the sins of the flesh. Am I not right?
Yes. And no. A love of the heavenly does not preclude a love of earthly things. God's beauty surrounds us and is reflected in the likes of you. How can I not gaze upon your loveliness and not be dazzled by his creation? My feelings are both passionate and pure. At first I thought the flame that burned within me was the work of Satan himself. And suffused with guilt, I resolved to avoid your company lest I be drawn into the bedchamber of your eyes.
Mon Dieu!
'Twas then I realized there would be no guilt if my deep passion could be reconciled with modesty. And so I abandoned my heart to the purity of my impudent desires. I confess I am unworthy of your love, and 'tis presumptuous of me to rely on your kindness and compassion. But my hopes, My happiness lie in your hands. Despair and torment too. 'Tis your sole decision. Happy if you will, or miserable if you please.
A gallant declaration, and no mistake. Audacious, too. You take my breath away, and though dazzled by your speechifying, I'm taken aback, and I'd be lying if I didn't question the measure of your tone. For you are a pious man. Why, 'tis well known.
Piety does not make me less of a man. And confronted by your celestial charms, the heart surrenders and reasons no more. After all, madam, I am no angel. And if you think me brazen and too outspoken, then look into your mirror. For beauty 'tis the culprit, and you have only yourself to blame. From the moment I set eyes on you, my defences crumbled. I prayed harder, fasted longer, but all to no avail. Of course, I tell you this because you will have guessed. My tender looks in your direction, my sighs have said it all. Now, if you will look with favour on your unworthy slave, and if your goodness will give me consolation, then I shall offer love unbounded and devotion which nothing can equal. Moreover, you need fear no disgrace with me. Your honour runs no risk. We have seen those Lotharios who lounge around the court bragging of their sexual conquests. The ladies' men who for vanity's sake degrade the objects of their desire. The fornicators impatient to broadcast their successes. But I am no braggart, no coarse whisperer. Not for me the bustle of the marketplace or the chinwag of the tavern, but the harsh of the cloister. For I am a pious man, as you say, and men such as me burn with a discreet flame. We cannot risk notoriety, and so to guard our reputations we have learned how to keep secrets. Accept my heart, Elmire, and I guarantee love without scandal and pleasure without fear.
I hear what you say, and I'm overcome. Your rhetoric moves me, leaves me numb. But doesn't it occur my immediate response might be to find my husband and bring him hence?
Dear lady, the violence of my passion may offend, but I know you are far too generous to share a confidence that would ruin my reputation. Above all things, you are a woman of rare beauty, and I am a man of flesh and blood.
Me. The pitfalls of being fair of face, the curve of the hips, the feminine grace, can all too often lead to arousal. But nevertheless, I know my spouse'll be alarmed, and as I don't want you harmed, I'll be discreet. But in return, I want something from you. Advocate the marriage of Valère and Marianne, do what you can, and your position in the household, don't abuse it, or I'll spill the beans to Orgon. And you'll lose it.
No, madame, no! His treachery I overheard in the closet there. In the darkness, his every word pierced my very soul like a dart. When father hears of this, 'twill break his heart.
No, Damis, hold fire. I made him a promise I don't want to break. He's learned his lesson. And for goodness sake, 'tis the nature of man to flirt and seduce. But I'm no blushing maid, no silly goose. And women such as me, still desirable, yet mature, don't cry vengeance and go running to hubby's door.
You may have your reasons to forgive, but I have mine for retribution. There's been trouble since he came here to live. Now, from heaven, via the closet, a solution. A prig and a liar will be brought to task. This seducer I'm impatient to unmask.
Ah, Tartuffe!
Father, you won't believe the news I'm about to impart. It will cut you to the quick and may well break your heart. A tale of squalor, dishonour, and even worse, of lechery and treachery. But first things first. the man you treated like a son, whom you caressed and heaped your blessings upon. Father, he tried to make of you a cuckold when the body of your wife he took hold. I heard his heavy breathing, the groans as he made free, his hands all over Elmire, as far as I could not see, for I was in the closet, but more of that later. That man, who skulks like a wounded beast, is a reprobate and a traitor. Elmire, being as she is, good-natured and kind, would not have shared with you this sorry tale, but I know my duty, and what is done. Though unblessed and uncaressed, I am still your only son.
So much exaggeration. The story over-embroidered. But true, this embarrassing scene I would rather have avoided. My thoughts on the matter are plain. Better to ignore a misunderstanding than cause my husband pain. Damis, these revelations do you no credit.
Heavens to Betsy. Can this be true?
Yes, brother. I am wicked, guilty, a wretched sinner, the greatest villain that ever breathed. I am one heaving, seething heap of filth. And now I see that heaven has seen fit to punish me for that sin, whatever it is, of which I am now accused. Believe what they tell you, for I am indeed a worm. Stamp on me. Crush out the worminess in me. Drive me out of the house, for I deserve no better than the gutter from whence I came.
Damis, thou art the traitor, not he. To accuse him falsely of impurity, this holy man, gentle and God-fearing.
I don't believe what I'm hearing. He's putting on an act, can't you see? This charade of meekness, it's all a bluff.
Enough! Hold thy tongue!
Let him speak, for he's not to blame. He's young and hot-headed. Besides, why defend me? Aren't you perhaps being taken in by appearances? For the world sees me as a good man. But in truth, I am a worthless creature. Call me any name you wish, my boy. Traitor, adulterer, thief, murderer. I won't deny them. I deserve them all. I welcome them as the cringing worm welcomes the soul of the avenging boot.
There is no need for this, brother. You are blameless and have nothing to repent for. Greater things on heaven and earth you are meant for.
This is intolerable.
You wretch!
I will in a minute. I've swallowed so much bile watching him wind you up. He's vile!
Hold your tongue! Another word and I'll give you a hiding you'll never forget!
Brother, please, for mercy's sake, don't be angry with the boy. I would rather be flogged in the marketplace than he should suffer hurt on my account.
You see what a foul-mouthed, ungrateful monster you are.
Pray, let him be, as on my knees I beg forgiveness for him.
Are you being serious? Are you sure? Behold, Dami, goodness, simple and pure.
You mean you...
Silence!
But he's...
Silence, I said! I know what you've got planned. You and your sister and your little band, all conniving to drive him away. Such arrogance needs to be taught a lesson! Marianne will marry Tartuffe soon, and with my blessing.
You mean you're going to force him upon her?
On my honour, for 'tis my inalienable right, and to show who's master this very night. So, vile accuser, deceitful dog, be contrite. Down on your knees and beg.
What? Beg forgiveness from this God-forsaken codpiece. For that's what he is. A born-again, horny, slippery dipper. A two-faced shyster. A smarmy old lech.
Fetch my stick. Or better still, a carving knife. Now, leave my house. You're banned for life. You will rue the day you disobeyed me. I didn't want to, but you made me. I hereby disinherit you. Get out!
Oh!
I'll skin your eye if I catch you!
Oh, to offend a man of such stature.
Forgive Damis his trespasses, oh Lord!
Could you but know, brother, the grief that they, your own kith and kin, should try to blacken my name?
Alackaday!
Their ingratitude wounds me deeply. Their accusations pierce my soul like burning irons. I feel faint. I swoon.
Take a deep breath, relax, and try to be calm. Under my roof, you shall come to no harm.
I see what uneasiness I occasion here. These dreadful scenes must come to an end. I must leave this house.
Oh, surely not.
They all hate me. They are jealous of our closeness.
So what?
They try to prise us apart by questioning my integrity.
Let them try.
And they'll never give up. You can be sure of that. And the accusations, those evil rumors they circulate, I fear you may one day believe.
Never. Never.
Ah, brother. A wife may easily deceive a husband.
Not this one. I'm as sharp as a Saracen's knife, which can't be said, lovely though she is, for my wife. So you must stay, or it will cost me my life.
In that case, brother, I will make of myself a sacrifice. But from henceforth, lest we grant our enemies reason to cry scandal, I will avoid your wife at all times.
No, no, that won't do at all. No way. You must be with her all hours of the day. Walk hand in hand. Make a fuss. Send roses. That'll get up their noses. I plan to make them angry, see? To punish them for defying me. So how about this for a brainwave that will really get their goat? My son-in-law-in-waiting, on whom I dote, who means more to me than that lot out there. I'm going to make you my one and only heir. To you I leave my worldly goods and entire estate. And I'll sign the deed right now. Not wait. Agreed?
In all things, let God's will be done.
Good man. Then, let's get it signed, sealed, and delivered.
I can't wait to see their faces in the morning. They'll be livid.
Tartuffe mud is being thrown at your name and is sticking. Your silence fans the flames. The clock is ticking. The town is full of rumour, and the noise it makes does nothing for your reputation. So I'm pleased, at last, to have this conversation. Now, I wasn't present at the scene, so I can't judge. But Damis, with the bit between his teeth, bore a grudge and accused you, perhaps falsely, of various abuses. And though he's young and headstrong, I can't make excuses. However, I would appeal to you as a Christian to forgive, not to seek vengeance, but to live and let live. The whole family is suffering. The boy feels great pain. Let him be reconciled with his father again.
Oh, I would do it with all my heart. I bear him not the least ill will. I forgive him everything. But alas, heaven will not allow it. Should he enter this house again, then I must leave it. 'Tis prescribed, 'tis writ. Such is the gravity of his sin, that if I were to forgive, it would seem as if I condoned his actions. You know what people are like. They would accuse me of feigning forgiveness to cover up my own guilt. A bribe to buy his silence.
God's teeth, what weird excuses. The reasons mooted are airy-fairy and convoluted, and theologically I'd wager up the creek. Do you think God needs your help to wreak revenge and punish? To reconcile, that's his aim. And you'd be wise, Tartuffe, to do the same. Renounce this inheritance to which you have no claim.
All the riches of the world hold no charms for me. I am not dazzled by their false glare. And if I should decide to accept Orgon's generous offer, I do so lest so much wealth falls into wicked hands and is put to evil ends. For my part, I do it purely for the glory of heaven and the good of my neighbour.
Money is the root of all evil, puritanical nonsense, utter drivel. Besides, why not let the rightful heir do as he thinks fit, and if that means squandering his wealth, then so be it. Better than you being accused of cheating and fraud. And who instructed you, I assume it was the Lord, that you and Damis live apart? And if that's so, why not encourage him to stay and you go?
Gosh, is that the time? It's 3:30 and time for my devotions. Please excuse my leaving you so soon. Kyrie.
Help us, Cleon, for pity's sake. The girl is desperate and no mistake.
For father plans this very night to marry me off. Please help us fight.
The alternative for Marianne, struth, but to spend her life as Mrs. Tartufe.
Tufe.
Ooh, Tufe.
Oh, it's good to see a gathering of the clan. And I've something here for you, Marianne. A contract. Sorry to keep you waiting. Suffocating? Suffocating? Then take a deep breath.
I said supplicating. It means to beg.
I know what it means. Now let go of my leg.
Father, for the sake of God in heaven above, let me marry the man I love. Don't ruin my life, the one you gave me. 'Tis in your power. You can save me from a life of quiet desperation. As a dutiful daughter, I implore, do not force me upon a man I abhor.
Well, perhaps I have been...
No! No! Don't weaken! I see her face, but 'tis the devil speaking.
Your feelings for him, I just don't fathom. But that's your business, and clearly you have 'em. And if you choose to give him money, so what? In fact, he's welcome to mine, the lot. But please, not my body. Than be tartuffed by that two-faced actor. I'd rather remain Virgo Intacta. I will get me to a nunnery and remain there for life. Rather poverty and silence than being his wife.
Oh, what sadistic games lovesick girls like to play. Making parents suffer when they don't get their own way. Rejecting the lure of suicide, they make the first inquiry to enter the nearest convent, or if daddy's rich, the priory. I'm offering you the chance to suffer, to mortify the flesh. Marry the man on offer and begin a life afresh.
But what about...
And you can keep out of it.
Brother, a word of advice, if you would allow.
Of course. Why, you're the wisest man I know. By all means, take to the floor and offer advice I'm going to ignore. Come along. Beat your drum.
On second thoughts, I'll keep stum.
I'm lost for words about this whole business. Staggered by your blindness and stubbornness. Your precious devotee in this very room on this very day held me down and tried to have his wicked way. And all you can think to say is, I've got something for you, Marianne. It's a contract.
That's a fact.
That's enough. Elmir, you overindulge my son. Forever take his side. So when he tried to frame Tartuffe, you lied, but without conviction. Denied it all. But the veil you drew over the affair was gossamer thin. Methinks you enjoyed the frisson of a brush with mortal sin.
I have no time for women who guard their virtue with sharpened claws, who shout and scream and bang on doors. Orgon, you know me well enough. I'm not one to overreact to unwelcome advances. My weapon is tact, the gentle rebuff. The secret of dealing with a flirt... divert. Take his mind off things. If he tries any tricks, don't be transfixed like a frightened rabbit. A smile is all you need. If his hand should stray, move it away, but gently, don't stab it. It'll bleed. When his breathing becomes hoarse and you note the quivering lip, you could exit screaming, of course, but far better the merry quip.
They have a saying in English, there can be no smoke without something burning, which roughly translated means...
I know what it means, and the only smoke you'll find is the smoke that billows from his behind. He's the devil, but you're deaf and blind.
I've a jolly good mind.
If I could prove to you, I'm passing soon, that what Demis claims is true, would you change your tune?
What do you mean?
Imagine the scene. You find a hiding place, next door or here. You lie quite still and overhear a conversation that chills you to the bone. Thinking he's alone with me, your holy man, your devotee, takes liberties. He goes too far. I cry for help, and there you are, my hero, come to save the day. Tartuffe, exposed, is led away.
I can't imagine such a...
For too long now you've been deceived. 'Tis time that Elmire was believed. You'll need to be silent, patient, and bold as you witness the drama about to unfold. Dorine, bid him come to me.
Right away, ma'am. But take care. He's as slippery as an eel, as cunning as a fox, as slimy as a toad, as cagey as a tumbril full of monkeys.
Thank you, Dorine.
As crooked as a fiddler's elbow, as shifty as sun shifting.
Just fetch him.
Yes, ma'am. As dodgy as a turnip, as sharp as one of them sharp things.
Now, into this chest you go.
Why so?
Just do as you are bidden. I'll close the lid so you're well hidden. Can you hear me?
Pardon?
Can you hear... Then lift the lid up just a tad so you can hear what's being said. And don't be shocked by anything I do or say. If I'm a vamp, it's just a game I play. A way of unmasking him. I'm asking him his true nature to reveal. And remember, I'm acting. He's for real. Or be a peeping Tom, if you prefer, by lifting the lid still further, but with care. Be a voyeur, be my guest. Though I pray before I am undressed, you'll have seen enough of the sad charade to interrupt. The man's corrupt, and you're on guard to protect me from his grubby paws and clammy lust. So don't expose me longer than you must. Shh! Get down, he's coming.
I was told you desired to speak with me.
Yes, of something to our mutual advantage, I shouldn't wonder. But first check the door, lest someone blunder in. Let's hope this time we're left in peace. We don't want a repeat of that fiasco with Damis. I have never witnessed such an angry scene. I tried my best to intervene on your behalf, but he was obsessed. And I didn't contradict his story, that is true. Not out of cowardice, but out of shame and fear of embroiling you. I was confused, my mind in disarray, but luckily your reputation saved the day. Orgon, who holds you in such high esteem, could not believe he would not dream that you could misbehave. And the good news for us, he wants you to dally with me, to make a fuss. So, here we are, alone, as lovers should be. Or should I say... Not lovers yet, but could be.
Madame, you fair take my breath away. The language you employ, your attitude, your posture even, so different from this morning.
Silly man, what boys you are, and innocent, to misinterpret what was clearly meant by my rejection. Women of my age know what romance is. Should I have surrendered right away to your advances? Few men really understand how modesty and desire go hand in hand. We fight against our baser instincts. It is our way, but in the hope that Eros triumphs and carries the day. Pray, stop! Our feeble cry when we protest that the heart beats ever faster in the breast. Oh, there now. The cat's out of the bag. I'm sorry. But I have entertained the worry, the constant nag, that my opposition to you marrying Marianne could be misinterpreted. Well, let me cast some light. I was against the plan, simply out of jealousy. A woman's spite.
'Tis no doubt, madame, an extreme pleasure to hear these words from the lips one loves. Their honey diffuses through every sense a sweetness I never tasted before. Then what stops me singing? What stops me dancing for joy? What stops me taking you in my arms and kissing you? I tell you, it is my heart which doubts its own good fortune. What if... what if I am being tricked? What if it is all pretense? That the true purpose of your honeyed words is to force me to break off my forthcoming marriage?
I'm shocked. Do you think I could be so base as to offer my heart, then lie to your face?
No, in truth, I don't. But they have a saying in English. Behaviour shouts louder than language. Which, roughly translated, means...
I know what it means.
So to reassure me of your sincerity, let your behaviour shout loud. Give me a kiss. Come on. Kiss me, come on.
Hey, stop!
Our feeble cry when we protest, though the heart beats ever faster in the breast.
Prithee, sir, your haste is almost adolescent. Let our conjoining be languorous and pleasant. I perspire, but I don't want to fan the flames of your desire. Pace yourself. Place yourself in my shoes. By patience, we have much to gain and naught to lose.
By all that's holy, if you look upon my advances with a favourable eye, then why deny me the proof of your feelings?
If I hold back, am timorous, 'tis with just cause. One, fear of offending heaven, of breaking his laws. Two, my marriage vows being put to the test. Three, my guilt at deceiving Orgon. I feel it in my chest.
Regarding heaven, 'tis but a trifle for me to remove that obstacle. I have a knack of easing scruples. Heaven, 'tis true, forbids certain gratifications, but there are ways around. The strings of conscience can be stretched. I am artful in the science of weighing up the purity of intention against the evil of the deed. Have no fear. I will take full responsibility for your actions. Satisfy my desire and fear nothing. Imagine, Elmire, sex without sin. You have a bad cough, madame?
Yes, I've got something on my chest.
Perhaps... a piece of licorice might help.
Thank you, but no. Although my throat feels slightly hoarse, I'm a great believer in letting nature run its course.
And so am I, Elmire. So am I. Therefore, let us give in to it. This will be our secret. Being found out is the offence. Sinning in private is no sin at all.
Oh, my chest! My chest! all right, you win. Let nature run its course, I give in. To make you happy, I'll cooperate. Though I fear that in your rampant state, thou wilt go at it like a bull at a gate. Now I do solemnly declare, while lying on my back like an open sandwich, a savory snack, that someone else is responsible for the sin of the curious mélange à trois I find myself in.
À trois? À deux, surely.
Before transporting me into the delights of carnality, would you mind awfully, merely a formality, opening the door, peeping out, lest my husband Nosy Parker is poking about?
Why worry about him? He is gullible, and I lead him by the nose. If he caught us in flagrante, he wouldn't believe it. Why, he'd no doubt think it were for the best.
Nevertheless, 'twill ease my mind, and you'll find me more relaxed.
God, I nearly died in there. I couldn't breathe. As for what I witnessed, I scarcely can believe. The man's a monster, the devil's spawn. But now I've seen the light, I'm newly born.
We need more evidence if we're to put him in the stocks. So take a deep breath, Jack. Get back in your box.
All is clear, madame, and rampant the bull is at the gate. Let Eros triumph.
Not so fast, you scum. You dog on heat. In two ticks, I'll kick you into the street. Not content with wedding me daughter, you seek to bed me wife. Why, I ought to strike you down or run you through.
In fact, I've long suspected you. Oh, yes, from the very beginning I smelled a rat. And now you're cornered. Meet the cat.
But my intention...
Your intention was plain for all to see. Now, take your servant with you and let us be.
Brother, you seriously can't believe for a moment that I...
Enough damn lies. Enough wicked talk. Pack your bags and get out while you can still walk.
No. You pack your bags and get out. All of you, this house belongs to me now, and I intend to punish you for your conspiracy and your cheap tricks. Heaven will avenge those who try to banish me.
What's he mean, the house belongs to him?
Ah, perhaps I, being a trifle dim, befuddled, but I was taken in. I was weak, over hasty, and in a fit of pique, transferred the house to him by title deed.
Oh, gone, you gorgonzola! That's all we need.
It gets worse.
What?
There's a strong box he's hiding upstairs, full of secret papers, and if we don't get them first, I'll be hung, drawn, and quartered. At least, so say your prayers. Allons vite!
So what's your plan to do about this muddle?
Don't know. I'm up the creek without a paddle.
Well, let's put our heads together and confer before we bang them and drop to our knees in prayer.
It's those secret papers I'm most concerned about. In the wrong hands, they're dangerous, and no doubt he'll find a way to extract his pound of flesh.
So what's the mystery, beginner fresh?
Oh, an old friend, Arga, fell foul of the law and went into exile. Somewhere, I'm not quite sure, entrusting to my care evidence that could incriminate.
Wait a minute. You've dropped your old friend in it?
Yes. Right up to the neck. It was Tartuffe's idea. Let me have the box, he said. Then your conscience is clear. Should an investigation begin? Oh, so I did. And what a sorry mess I'm in.
And your whole family, too, who'll be thrown onto the street without a sou. As for you, prison or a life spent in exile. Oh. What you mustn't do is antagonize him further. Use guile. Seek a compromise. Who knows, his heart might soften.
There's an old English saying.
And Ogs might take to the air.
That's the one. Behind that show of piety, he's a fake. A scavenging rapscallion on the make. He saw me as a pocket he could pick. And I fell for every double-dealing trick. And who was there to warn me? Nobody. And did any of my family say a word? No. As for men of religion, I'm in no rush to see another. Tarred are they with the same brush.
Oh, brother, he goes from one extreme to another. Duped by a charlatan, he now believes that all holy men are adulterers and thieves. A man bit into an apple that was rotten to the core, so he refused to go walking in orchards anymore.
Ha!
The same man drank wine from a dusty flagon. It tasted sour, so he went on the wagon.
Silly man.
One morning, he woke with a pain in his back, so he called his servant, who called the quack. Next morning, he suffered another attack, so he called his servant and gave him the sack.
Outrageous.
Don't you agree that he should learn moderation and take a balanced view?
Hmm. Oh, God, wake up!
I'm talking about you! All men don't deceive. All women don't seduce. Don't look at a rope and imagine the noose. All beggars aren't humble. All princes aren't aloof. Don't look at a priest and imagine Tartuffe.
Father, I hear that blatherskite's been threatening you. After all you've done for him, can this be true?
Yes, son. To drive me from my home turf, that's his intention. As sure as earth are earth.
He's a Baden. And the time for dialogue is past. I'll sort him out. The die is cast. The voice of reason I keep in my scabbard. I'll put the dog down. He's poisonous and rabid.
Ah, the voice of passion. But in our enlightened world today, mindless violence is no longer the way.
Ah, the voice of reason. I hear what you say. Then I'll just cut off one ear, okay?
When we heard the rumours, we were at a loss. So hurried quickly here, and we warn you, one is cross. Now tell me the news.
Yes, Mother. You remember the story well enough. I found this fellow sleeping rough and brought him here. Treated him like a brother. Nay, I pandered to his every whim. There was nothing I wouldn't do for him, including... And here the tale grows sour, giving him our daughter's hand and our estate. House, chattels, land, the lot. And was he grateful? Not. He stole my papers and tried to bed my wife. Yes, Elmire, I was there. I swear it on my life.
You poor thing.
We don't believe for a moment what you're saying. Why, as we speak, I bet he's in the chapel praying.
Selling off my silver more like.
It is plain to me you're jealous of his virtue. If one is holy, there'll be people out to hurt you. You would do well to remember that proverb one taught you as a child. That virtue here is persecuted ever. That envious men may die, but envy never.
I'm not envious, Mother. I am furious. I'm distraught, embittered, affronted and sore. I am incensed, inflamed. Do you want more? I am enraged, resentful, grow angrier by the hour. I bristle, I bridle, I am peeved, I am sour. I am chafed, churlish, malicious and mordacious. I am petulant, sullen, cantankerous and pugnacious.
Good gracious! You are in a pretty tiz. But if there is fault to be found, then tis not his. There are scandalmongers hereabout, and poisonous tongues we do not doubt.
Mother, you are not listening. I was hiding. I was there. Watched. Listened. I witnessed the whole affair.
And so you say, and will until you're blue in the face. But appearances can be deceptive. So have the good grace to admit that you could have been mistaken. Imagination running wild. Fantasies of your own making.
I saw!
You thought you saw. The scene you obviously misconstrued. What, in fact, was an innocent frolic you saw as something rude.
And how long should I have waited? Until they were nude?
Orgon, you go too far. And in front of your wife. Tartuffe is innocent. One swears it on one's life.
If you weren't my mother, I swear I'd take a big stick and
There, no need to make a fuss. She won't believe you like you didn't believe us. Blinkered. Now you know what that word means. Pig-headedness. It must be in the genes.
Hold on. This is getting us nowhere fast. What's done is past. The man's a knave. He holds all the cards and his threats are real.
Perhaps to his good nature we might appeal. Perhaps. Or not.
Do you really believe he'd take us to court?
Without a doubt. He's the sly, vindictive sort who'll use the law to try and bring us down. As we speak, he'll be drumming up support in town. The pity is you didn't swallow your pride and find a way to keep him mollified. But it's too late now, I fear, for compromise or truce. The lion's out of his cage and on the loose.
Good afternoon, miss. If you tell your master, I'd like a word or three.
But he's very busy, in conference, as you can see.
Ah, but the news I bring will not displease. I bring good tidings, forsooth, that will ease the burdens he hath suffered of late. Go, tell him. I'll wait.
And your name, sir?
Just tell him I'm here on behalf of Monsieur Tartuffe.
It is a man who seems both civil and polite, who says, and I hope I've got this right, that he brings good tidings, forsooth, that will ease your burdens. Oh, and he's here on behalf of Monsieur Tartuffe.
Foof!
You must see him, but keep calm. Pile on the autocratic royalist charm. Keep your wig on. Don't lose your rag. Forget Tartuffe's a grouthead and a scallywag. In other words, play it low-key.
Okie dokie.
Good sir, I wish you the best of health, good fortune, happiness... And wealth.
Good fortune. I may be in luck. Perhaps he's here to let me off the hook.
I'm Norman.
How do you do? I'm Morgan. This is Cléant, Damis.
No, I mean I'm from Normandy. A country boy at heart. My name is Loyal, and may I say before we start that I knew your father well, sir, God rest his soul. I worked for him often over the years in my role as bailiff. A finer man one couldn't wish to meet.
Thank you. And your business here?
To put you good people out onto the street.
What?
I have a writ to serve upon you, sir, to remove without delay all goods and chattels, so that by the end of the day, the rightful owner might take up residence. I hope this won't prove an inconvenience.
The blazes it will!
Bless you, sir. 'Tis what we in the trade call an eviction ordinaire. In layman's terms, a straightforward, legally watertight affair, and strictly between ourselves. We bailiffs prefer this kind of eviction. Less stress, we find, and rarely any friction.
If you think you could just walk in here...
My business does not concern you, sir, but this gentleman, who I suspect, being his father's child, is honest, upstanding...
I'll be damned!
And mild. And begging your pardon, sir, on my way here, I was admiring your gardens, which, along with your beautiful house... and all within, from cellar to roof, now belongs to Monsieur Tartuffe. So I'd be obliged if you'd quickly cooperate. Madame Loyal will nag me so if I get home late.
You are a blackguard, sir, and I bid you step outside.
You'd be well advised to hold your tongue. For a little black book I've brought along, and if your name be writ inside, heaven help you, woe betide.
Loyal by name, disloyal by nature.
Norman, listen to me.
Monsieur Loyal.
Monsieur Loyal. You, having been an old friend of Papa's, who spoke of you most warmly, couldn't you and I, for old time's sake, perhaps with a few gold bars, settle this informally?
I did business with your father, sir. I was not a friend. But in respect of his memory, I will pretend I didn't hear. Little black book, sir. Oh, keep clear.
But can't you see? I'm shaking like a leaf.
Indeed, sir. Then perhaps I can offer some relief. And despite your disreputable behaviour, we'll turn a deaf ear and do you a favour. I'll suspend the execution of the writ until first light, which means... I'll have to stay the night with 10 of my men, all rough and ready, but polite. And if I could trouble you for the keys to this place, better, sir, in my safekeeping, just in case. Now, enjoy your supper, a game of cards, whatever it is you like to do best, but an early night is what I suggest, for in the morning there'll be lots to do with my willing lads on hand just for you. They'll do the donkey work, whistling with pride as cheerily they help you dump your stuff outside. And if some trifles of sentimental value you unwittingly stow away, I'll turn a blind eye. My good deed for the day. It should be fairly straightforward, a simple operation, and all I ask for is your cooperation.
You enjoy your work overmuch, 'tis plain. Take pleasure in causing people pain. To describe you, what is the mot juste?
Well, that's easily deduced. In a word, mad.
The whole thing's abhorrent. Enough's enough. Just serve the warrant and be off.
Here it is. With my fondest wishes. Now, I'll go see my lads are safely quartered, and soon we'll have our business neatly sorted. God bless you all.
We pray that he will, and that he'll damn you and the man that sent you. That's your Tartuffe for you. Now, mother, swallow your pride and admit it. We've all been taken for a ride.
One can scarcely comprehend the man's deceit. Flabbergasted are we. Knocked off our feet. In truth, sick are we, as a parakeet.
Oh, come now, you're being too severe. What's done is for your benefit, that much is clear. He knows that riches can destroy a man, so he's removed temptation, a most virtuous plan.
Such charity. Why, I wouldn't be surprised if one day he's blessed and canonized. Saint Tartuffe, patron saint of swindlers and dentists.
All gone. Let us retire. Crack open a bottle of Armagnac and by the light of a fire plan our attack.
The man's blatantly a scoundrel who has cheated and lied. Just tell the judge and the writ will be nullified. Unless French justice is more corrupt than I thought, I bet the whole thing will be thrown out of court. Valère, what brings you here and in such haste?
A crisis, ma'am, and we have no time to waste. A close friend of mine who knows of our connection works for the king in security and protection, and at his own peril has passed on news to me of a danger so imminent you have no choice but to flee.
The box!
The charge is that you have been disloyal, harbouring secret papers belonging to an anti-royal, a republican and enemy of the state.
Argan, a republican? Well, I'm blowed.
That box you were holding is about to explode.
And it was Tartuffe who went to the king?
Yes. He denounced you as a republican together with a string of other charges the prosecution might bring. As we speak, officers led by Tartuffe are on their way to arrest you, so I think it best you leave. Immediately.
I'll pack a bag, quickly.
There's no time. Take this. 1,000 louis d'or. When we are out of danger, I'll be able to raise more. I shall accompany you to England, where I have good friends. And there you'll be safe until this nightmare ends.
I hope to God I live long enough to repay the kindness you have shown this day.
Let us tarry no more. My coach at your disposal is waiting at the door.
May God be with you.
Godspeed.
Amen.
Adieu, Marianne. Et je t'aime.
Not so fast, sir.
There is no rush. The place that awaits you has learned patience over the centuries.
You must have prayed to Satan for this final moment. On the stage of your dark soul rehearsed the denouement. Your foul prayers are answered. It has come to pass. As you deliver the final coup de grace.
Your abuses cannot incense me. I am instructed to suffer everything for the sake of heaven.
Ah, yes, a religious martyr and no mistake.
Let's put him to the test and burn him at the stake.
Yes!
All your ravings cannot move me. I think of nothing but doing my duty.
When people find out what you've done, the heartless cruelty, the lies you've spun, they'll avoid you like something leprous or bubonic.
Too late then to go crawling to your monarch.
Not when they realize that what I have done has been directed from heaven above, and that I am purely the instrument of his love eternal.
But after all I've done for you, all I've given, and now from home and family you'd have me driven.
Indeed, yes. You were truly helpful, but my duty now is to the king, and that obligation stifles all other commitments. Why, sir, for his gracious majesty, I would sacrifice friends, lovers, parents, even myself.
Codswallop.
Whichever way the wind blows, he changes shape. He's a shapeshifter, that's plain to see. Shapeshifter, skirt lifter, shiftless drifter who gets short shrift from me. He's a leper, constantly changing his spots.
When it suits your purpose, it would seem that God plays second string to his majesty the king. An odd regime, but tell me this. If you were as zealous and committed as you say, why didn't you denounce Orgon the very day he gave you papers pertaining to the state? Why wait until you were thrown out on your ear for trying to seduce my sister Elmire?
Captain of the Guard, put an end to the shrill clamour that is offensive to mine ears and be pleased to do as you are ordered.
Righty-ho. I've had my orders, and the first thing I must do is bow in direction of family and then arrest not Orgon, but you.
Who? I, sir?
Yes, it's all here in black and white, plain for all to see. To the nearest Danker's prison, you will accompany me.
On what grounds, pray?
That's none of your concern, with a prison sentence pending. But to these good folk, for whom a happy ending is in prospect, let me explain as best I'm able how the king waved a magic wand and turned the table. One of the reasons his majesty has reigned for so long is that his senses are acute, his perception strong. He can sniff out an impostor at 20 paces, spot cunning and treachery etched into faces. The flatterer, the hypocrite, he plainly can see. One glimpse of a traitor is a fait accompli. So when Monsieur Tartuffe turned up at court, and with deeds and secret papers sought to have Orgon imprisoned and disgraced, the royal senses were alerted. Officials traced the accuser's background and found a history of blackguardism, swindlerism, dishonestism, lustism, both lech and treacherism, and a list of isms that would take one's breath away. On learning of this, and without delay, our sovereign was of a mind to exercise his prerogative and dissolve the contract that was signed and to give back to Orgon, the rightful owner, his estate.
Hurrah!
Furthermore, as of this date, and I quote, by royal order, for harbouring secret papers, we will afford a pardon. For we do believe his actions were not seditious, but naive. Nor have we forgotten, during the days of civil war, his bravery and loyalty to the king he was fighting for.
We have our lives restored.
You, mark my words and mark them well. I'll ask the king to make sure your life's a living hell in an overcrowded, rat-infested cell.
With thumbscrews and a rack.
With thumbscrews and a rack.
Floggings twice daily.
Floggings twice daily.
Cold toast.
Cold toast.
Oh, brother, don't descend to his level. His suffering will be intense, poor devil. Pray instead that he mends his ways, that he repents and spends his days in true confession, that he finds hope and inner peace, and through royal intercession, an early release.
Well said, Cléante. As ever, you make good sense. And soon to the palace I shall get me hence to prostrate myself before our sovereign and thank him most sincerely for bothering to come to my rescue. So finally, I ask you all, mother, my faithful wife, and dearest son, even Doreen, so often put upon, to witness Valère and Marianne's first kiss, for soon to be theirs, wedded bliss.
Which, roughly translated, means...
We know what it means! All's well that ends swell! A welcoming will not us there. So before we wend our way, we cheers for the man who wrote that name. Monsieur Moriere, yip, 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 Monsieur Moriere.
In the Liverpool Playhouse production of Tartuffe by Molière, Tartuffe was John Ram, Orgon was Joseph Alessi, Cléante, Simon Coates, Elmire, Rebecca Lacey, Madame Panel was Ethna Brown, Doreen was Annabel Dowler, Marianne was Emily Peaton, Damis was played by Robert Hastie, Valère by Kevin Harvey, and Loyal by Alan Stocks. It was adapted by Roger McGough and directed by Gemma Bodinet, and it was first broadcast here on BBC Radio 3 in 2009. And as ever, you can listen again to tonight's Drama on Three for the next 30 days on the BBC Radio 3 website. No drama next Sunday night, and that's because of our coverage of WOMAD.
A symphony must be like the world. Mahler conjures up mountains, meadows and forests in his mighty Third Symphony. To capture it all, he adds extra percussion, tuned bells, solo voice and choirs to a vast orchestra. The renowned Mahler interpreter Bernard Haitink conducts this epic work to mark 50 years since his proms debut. He's joined by forces including the London Symphony Orchestra and the mezzo-soprano Sarah Connolly. Mahler's Third Symphony, live at the BBC Proms next Friday at 7 o'clock, here on BBC Radio 3.
Meanwhile, live at the Proms tomorrow night, it's The Barber of Seville from Glyndebourne. That begins also at 7 o'clock. Back to tonight, there's music through the night with me, John Shea, beginning in an hour, medieval and contemporary vocal music in a concert from Copenhagen. That's at 11:30. Now, though, at 11:30, early music late, Simon Hayes begins with Albinoni.